It was early, not yet 9, and Perry was the first customer at the washateria, a self-service laundry. He opened his fat straw suitcase, extracted a wad of briefs and socks and shirts, some his, some Dick's, tossed them into a washer and fed the machine a lead slug, one of many bought in Mexico. Perry was well acquainted with the workings of such emporiums, having often patronized them, and happily, since usually he found it so relaxing to sit quietly and watch clothes get clean. Not today. He was too apprehensive. Despite his warnings, Dick had won out. Here they were, back in Kansas City, dead broke to boot and driving a stolen car. All night they had raced the Iowa Chevrolet through thick rain, stopping twice to siphon gas, both times from vehicles parked on the empty streets of small sleeping towns. This was Perry's job, one at which he judged himself absolutely tops. Just a short piece of rubber hose. That's my cross-country credit card. On reaching Kansas City at sunrise, the travelers had gone first to the airport, where in the men's lavatory they washed and shaved and brushed their teeth. 2 hours later, after a nap in the airport lounge, they returned to the city. It was then that Dick had dropped his partner at the washateria, promising to come back for him within the hour. When the laundry was clean and dry, Perry repacked the suitcase. It was past 10. Dick, supposedly off somewhere, hanging paper, was overdue. He sat down to wait, choosing a bench on which, an arm's length away, a woman's purse rested, tempting him to snake his hand around inside it. But the appearance of its owner, the burliest of several women now employing the establishment's facilities, deterred him. Once, when he was a running wild child in San Francisco, he and a chink kid, Tommy Chan? Tommy Lee? Had worked together as a purse-snatching team. It amused Perry, cheered him up, to remember some of their escapades. Like one time, we sneaked up on an old lady, really old, and Tommy grabbed her handbag, but she wouldn't let go. She was a regular tiger. The harder he tugged one way, the harder she tugged the other. Then she saw me and said, "Help me, help me." And I said, "Hell, lady, I'm helping him," and bopped her good. Put her on the pavement. 90 cents was all we got. I remember exactly. We went to a chink restaurant and ate ourselves under the table. Things hadn't changed much. Perry was 20-odd years older and 100 pounds heavier, and yet his material situation had improved not at all. He was still, and wasn't it incredible? A person of his intelligence, his talents, an urchin dependent, so to say, on stolen coins. A clock on the wall kept catching his eye. At 10:30, he began to worry. By 11, his legs were pulsing with pain, which was always, with him, a sign of approaching panic. Bubbles in my blood. He ate an aspirin and tried to blot out. Blur, at least, the brilliantly vivid cavalcade gliding across his mind, a procession of dire visions. Dick in the hands of the law, perhaps arrested while writing a phony check, or for committing a minor traffic violation, and found to be driving a hot car. Very likely, at this very instant, Dick sat trapped inside a circle of red-necked detectives. And they weren't discussing trivialities. Bad checks or stolen automobiles. Murder. That was the topic, for somehow the connection that Dick had been so certain no one could make had been made. And right now, a carload of Kansas City police were on their way to the washateria. But no. He was imagining too much. Dick would never do that. Spill his guts. Think of how often he had heard him say, "They can beat me blind. I'll never tell them anything." Of course, Dick was a blowhard. His toughness, as Perry had come to know, existed solely in situations where he unarguably had the upper hand.